Let the church say amen this morning. God has been good to us once again. And God has allowed us to be here once again. God is always good, but He's been good to us all of the time. So let us thank God for that. I want to say good morning to everyone and thank everyone once again for being out this morning. To those of you who are visitors or guests in the audience, we want to recognize you at a later time. Please see that you get a visitor's. Please see someone that you get a visitor's card that we may call you out to let you know how much we appreciate your being here. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, it is this morning, this day of this year that we thank you, Father, for lengthening out our lives. We thank you because you didn't have to, but yet you did anyway. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, because it's not me that's so good, but it's you that's good always. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for this day that you have given us. Thank you for your blessings that we have received thus far in this day. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your Son who died on yonder's cross that we might live. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the churches of Christ, but in particular, the Stony Island congregation this morning. Thank you for its leaders. Thank you for its brethren. And thank you for all of their families. We thank you this morning for those who have taken part in the services thus far, and we continue to pray for their families as well. Thank you for those this morning, Father, who are here, but most importantly, we are praying for those who are sick and unable to be here this morning. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that if it be your will that they might be healed, that they may be able to come back to the fold once again. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. Father, we pray this morning and give praises and honor to those who are in governmental authorities over us. Oh, Lord, we pray that they would make the right laws and the right rules and regulations to govern us. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that they may not make any rules that would harm our worship services to thee, O Lord. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those, especially those parents who are raising their children this morning. We ask you, O Heavenly Father, give them strength to carry on and give each and every husband and wife strength to go on as well. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in attendance this morning and be with these services, O Lord. We thank you for what we have accomplished thus far, and we pray that everything that we accomplish from this point on may be found favorable and acceptable in thy sight. Father, we do ask all of these blessings in the name of the one who marched up the hill, hung on Calvary's cross, went into the grave, and got up again. We thank you in his name's sake, O Lord. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk from a subject in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through verse number 25. Let us read the text once again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. This morning, being born again. Now, those who know something about God's word know that in order to become one of God's children, we must be born again. We must put off the old man and make our aim that of the Lord our God. In other words, we must change. The text speaks of being born again, not by corruptible seed, or not to literally be born again, in other words, of men, but by the incorruptible, which puts us as the children of God. This morning, there are two words I'd like for us to notice in today's text. They are corruptible and incorruptible. Now, if I could give just a brief definition, corruptible means that which are mortal and surely to face decay or change. Incorruptible means ever enduring, ever unchanging, such as our text describes the Word of God. The text lets us to know that we can be sure that the Word of God won't change, even when the governments of the world find it politically correct to change policies, to change laws. The Word of God will stay the same. When society changes from the right way of doing things, God's Word will still be the same. When governments decide we need to make laws to do this or do that, the Word of God shall not change. The ways of men shall go, but God's Word will be the same. God's Word will always stay the same. All who are Bible-believing Christians have come to know that we must be born again. Now, what that means is that we must change from the way we were or the way we are to the way God wants us to be. God's Word is not changed by the ideas of men. Look at 1 Peter 1, chapter, verse number 3 and verse number 4. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse number 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, when you think about that, God's Word is not changed, and man's Word may change over time, but God's Word over time will stay the same. He has given us all the things that we need, in particular, lively hope, according to that particular text. Lively hope in the resurrection, or by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has always been and always will be the same. He shall not change. Our money may not stay the same. Our lives shall without a doubt one day change. And most certainly, if we live long enough, we shall get old and come to realize that these bodies will become frail and may come to need repair, and sometimes parts may need to be replaced. But nevertheless, God's Word will not change. The Word of God will be the same forever and ever and always. Isn't it wonderful and a blessing to know that some things will never change? Even though we may change, God's Word will never change. Even Satan can't change the incorruptible Word of God. Throughout all of the ages, Satan has tried everything and every way possibly to change the Word of God. The reason he cannot, will not, and shall not can be found in Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 89. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Now, the main point here that I want you to learn from this scripture is that the psalmist realized the Word of God is unchangeable. The Word of God is settled in heaven, free of changes that are so prevalent here on this earth. This is why it ought to be comforting for us to know as Christians that God's Word is the same throughout the ages of time and throughout all time. And somebody may ask the question, well, didn't Satan change the Word of God? No, he did not. Satan added to the Word of God. Satan added something to the Word of God. Do you remember the old familiar story over in Genesis chapter 3 and around verses number 1 through 4? That wasn't a change. That was deception, a lie at its highest point. A lie that cannot be a change, but a lie is a makeshift, if you will. A lie means that I can do something differently for the moment, but it's not really a change. It's just that I'm going to try something different. It was a lie at its highest level, if you will. And ever since then, he's been trying to do everything he can to change the Word of God. And he might even whisper in your ear from time to time, that's not right. That's not good. That's not the way to go. But God's Word is always the way to go. When you think about it, church, when you look at the matter, when you go back to Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You must be changed. You must be born again. And Jesus explained it all over in the book of John to Nicodemus at one point. Jesus explained to him that he doesn't have to be born physically again, but you have to be born spiritually again. You have to be born over that you may receive that which is incorruptible. And we cannot. Man may try, but he cannot. Man cannot change the Word of God. Satan may try to change the Word of God like he did in Acts chapter 13, or like the Jews try to do in Acts chapter 13, where they contradicted and blasphemed what Paul spoke of when he spoke the gospel. You know, the gospel is one thing that we should always be appreciative of, because the gospel tells the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But men, they may try to change, they may try to subtract, or they may try to add to God's Word. But the Bible issued a warning in Revelation chapter 22 and verses number 18 and 19. The Bible says, if any man shall add to God's Word, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And then verse number 19 says, if any man takes away from the words of God, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. Now, what are those two verses telling us? Simply that by adding to the Word of God, one will be punished, and that if he takes away from the Word of God, he is cutting himself off from the promises of God. We must always be aware that corruptible man cannot win over the incorruptible God. So when you think about it, church, when you look at the matter, Satan cannot change the incorruptible. He can try to change us, and he will, and he has, and he does still each and every day. The corruptible shall be changed to incorruptible. The bodies, these bodies that we live in right now, these bodies shall one day be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the verses number 52, the trumpet, and I want you to notice something there. The trumpet, and that's not any trumpet. That's not somebody blowing a trumpet like men blow trumpets. But the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed, church. We shall be changed in order that we may know that in verse number 15, for this corruptible must put on the incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. This change has need to come in order that which we were once corruptible may be fit to live in with an incorruptible God. How can man in his corruptible state live with God who is incorruptible unless he is changed? We must be like Abraham was. We must look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 10. Abraham looked by faith for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The Word of God is how we have regeneration, how regeneration takes place in us. This change is spoken of in our text today in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23, where once again it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then, as I spoke a moment ago, Jesus explained it all to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and around verses number 5 and verse number 6, where Nicodemus was a little bit confused when Jesus told him he had to be born again. Nicodemus assumed that Jesus wanted him to go back into his mother's womb and come out all over again. But that's not the concept of being born again. The concept of being born again means that we must change directions, change our lives, change the way we live, change the way we walk, change the way we talk, change everything about us so that we may serve God in the righteous manner. We must have faith and not simply sight in order to believe what we cannot see. And you know, and it's hard for a person to believe something that they can't see all of the time. Now, they won't believe the Word of God, but they'll believe what the TV says or what the newspaper tells them. But they will not and they refuse to believe God's word. Isn't that right, church? Oh, yeah. We must have faith because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. That we may one day receive an incorruptible crown. For the word of God lives and abideth forever, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 24. Look at the text. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. And what happens to grass, church? The grass wither, and the flower thereof falleth away. Oh, the flowers are all going to die one day, just like mankind is going to die one day. But the word of God will live forever. When you look at verse number 25 of the text, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. One day, change will come to us, but God's will never change. As the flower falls away, but God shall have and shall be the everlasting word. The blood of Christ is the price for man's redemption. Nothing corruptible such as money, precious metals, nor our bank books can save us, can save our soul. But the precious blood of Christ is the only thing that matters when it comes to matters of saving the soul. I hope that we all come to church because we want to have an idea of how to save our soul. Isn't that what the church do, gives directions to heaven? Isn't that what the church is supposed to do, give directions to heaven? Isn't that what the church is all about? Too many of us think that if I look like a Christian and talk like a Christian, that's all I need to do to get to heaven. But one thing is missing in too many Christians' lives, and that is we fail to heed John 13 and verse number 34, where the Bible says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we talked about this in the Bible class, not this particular text, but we talked about it in Bible school this morning where we were talking about loving your neighbor. But then verse number 35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Brother Jackson. There's a doctor in the house. In 70s. Okay.
take the ambulance.
I said no.
You don't have to check you out. You don't have to go, but at least you need to be checked out.
I don't have any of my equipment. I need somebody to listen to you.
I come right out.
You gonna call? We will call her. Where's your number? Is it your
phone? I want to know all that. That's how I got her.
She wants to go to. I think you fainted.
You fainted.
Mm-hmm. That one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take me home.
Let the ambulance release you.
We're
going
to let them check you
out. Don't argue.
We'll get you home.
We're going to let them check you out.
They're just going to check you. You don't have to go.
We're going to let them check you
out. Just about.
We're going to let them check you out.
Okay.
I feel better if you get checked out first.
No way in the world anybody in this church is going to let you go home. No one's going to let you go home. Stop being stubborn.
You have your doctor's number with you?
No.
Okay, well, we're
going to go.
They called the ambulance. I can't take you home now. I can't take you right this minute. They're just going to check you out. You don't have to go with them.
No, you're not going any place with them.
No. Only place I'm going is home.
Okay.
My doctor.
Okay, no, lay back.
Lay back and calm
yourself.
Calm yourself. Calm. After we get you checked out.
No, I won't.
Calm down. You want some water?
No.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Just relax for a few minutes. Relax. No, we don't want to set up.
We're not getting
this
set up right this second. You're
going to
sit here and relax for a second.
What happened?
You had either a hot flash, you fainted, or you passed out, or you had the beginnings of a stroke. Right now, you just really need to be conscious. Talk to us.
Yeah.
Calm down. Just calm down. We don't want to raise your heart blood pressure.
But just stay calm.
Stay calm.
Don't. As soon as I have you checked out, I can't take you until you get checked out.
No, you want to be checked out.
I don't want to
get
out.
No,
my doctor. They won't take you if you don't want to go. Well, but let them at least check your blood pressure and all of that. Huh? They don't want to come in here? Yeah, that's them. But you know what? Yeah, at least I know you're still alive if you don't speak to me.
Just about. If you never speak to me again, I won't worry about it.
You don't have to go to the hospital. We just want you to be checked you out. That just to let them check you. But you don't have to go. Remember, Sister Porter didn't go to the hospital at that time? Okay, here. They're here now. I'll see if you get your doctor, but for right now, we need you to be checked out. Okay, here she is.
Let them get through, please.
None that we know of. She claims she's never been sick in her life.
How do you feel right now?
Come on, you can come on in here. Great.
She's worried about that dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. He's very stubborn. She's not going to allow him to take her.
She said no.
She said no over and over and over.
No, we can take her home.
Yeah, something. Watch that. They're trying to get her all back. She's not gonna, she's so stubborn, she's not gonna want to go. Hey y'all. She kept insisting on going home, and I refused to take her home. Yeah, her and her dog. I know.
It's okay. If everybody can just kind of calm themselves down at this time right now and let us move on in procession. Listen to Ray. Yeah, so do that for us. Okay. Okay, would you just go? We don't know, none of us like when we see these people come, really. Come on. Come on. Okay, well, come on.
Let me go over there.
Come on.
Okay.